12th Sunday, Year A, Ordinary Time. Reading from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 20, verses 10 to 13. Letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 12 to 15. Matthew, chapter 10, verses 26 to 33. First reading from the book of Jeremiah. For I hear many whispering, terror is on every side. Denounce him, let us denounce him. Say all my familiar friends, watching for my fall. Perhaps he will be deceived, then we can overcome him and take out revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a red warrior. Therefore, my persecutor will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, who try the righteous, who see the heart and the mind, let me see thy vengeance upon them. For to thee have I committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, pray the Lord, for he hath delivered the life of the needy from the hand of evildoers. The second reading from the letter to the Romans. Therefore, as sin came into the world to one man, and death to sin, and so death spread to all men because all men sinned. Sin indeed were in the world before the law were given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. That death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sin were not like the transgression of Adam, who were a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many die to one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, about it for many. The Gospel according to Matthew. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, utter in the light, and what you have here whispered, proclaim up on the housetops, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father's will. But even the hair of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Sharing the good news. The theme. Fear not, God's power overcome all worldly powers. People are feared by many things in life, suffering, pain, loss, prison, sin, resort, and especially death, because death will take away all what people have. But God demands people not to fear, because fear causes people not to live according to the truth to witness for God. Fear calls people not to live according to God's standards, but are pleased with human standards. Fear makes people to be slavery for their pleasure. the war, and the devil. To overcome fear, people need to have a strong faith in God and His power. At the same time, people also need to know the steps of value of what they possess. Today's reading provides the reasons why we don't need to be feared of anything. In the first reading, the prophet Jeremiah knew fear of surrounding enemies, but he overcame fear because of his strong faith in God. He believed God would save him from all suffering and make his enemy ashamed and humiliated. In the second reading, St. Paul advised the Romans not to be feared, even sin, because Christ renders sin ineffective due to his blood poured out on the cross. Moreover, his blood had power to sanctify and to give countless blessings to people. In the gospel, Jesus advised to his disciples not to be feared of anything because he won all things. The disciples must firmly believe in God's providential love to witness for the truth. Analysis. The first reading. God had delivered the life of the needy from the hand of evildoers. First point. Jeremiah is opposed by Pashur, the priest. As God's prophet, Jeremiah must say what God wants to say to the Judah king, the priest, and the Jerusalem people. The priest Pashur, Immer's son, the chief officer in the house of the law, did not only listen to Jeremiah saying, but he also let people beat him up and fetter him at the Benjamin Gate, that is the upper gate of the house of God. The terror on every side is the name which Jeremiah called Pashur after this man seized, beat up, and fettered the prophet. See Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 3. Jeremiah prophesied about the Pashur and all Judahite destiny as follows. For thus saith the Lord, indeed, I will hand you over to terror, you and all your friends. The own eyes shall see them fall by the sword of their enemies. All Judah, I will hand over to the power of the king of Babylon, who shall take them captive to Babylon or strike them down with the sword. All the wealth of this city, all its resources and its valuables, all the treasure of the king of Judah, I will hand over to their enemy, who will plunder it and carry it away to Babylon. And you, Pashur, and all the members of your household shall go into exile. To Babylon you shall go. There you shall die and be buried, you and all your friends, because you have prophesied lies to them. Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 4 to 6. All what the prophet Jeremiah prophesied will fulfill. Judah will fall to the Babylon enemy in 587 BC. Jerusalem will completely destroy. All precious things of the temple and the city were confiscated and brought to Babylon. The king, all the officers, and the priests were on Babylon exile, of course, Pashur included, and he died on exile. Second point. Prophet Jeremiah found strength in God. When Jeremiah must confront with so many opposition from his family, friends, priests, the king, and his officer, the prophet knew he cannot win over his wicked enemy without God's strength. So Jeremiah believed and offered his prayer to God as follows. But the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore, my persecutor will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. Jeremiah knew God had power to punish and the strength to liberate the righteous. So he continued to pray. O Lord of hosts, who try the righteous, who see the heart and the mind, let me see thy vengeance upon them. For to thee have I committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, pray the Lord, for he hath delivered the life of the needy from the hand of evildoers. The second reading, Christ liberates people from sin and death. Third point, Christ liberates people from sin. One question which is raised by many people, why did God punish all people because one disobedient sin of Adam? St. Paul answered this question by comparing Adam with Christ. He reasoned as follows. Therefore, as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all men sinned. But Adam's sin can be compared with God's forgive. For if many die to one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the forgive in the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. Christ is compared as the new Adam. He came to take away all results of sin caused by the old Adam. However, not only Adam sinned, but all people sinned. St. Paul said, sin indeed were in the world before the law were given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. That ran from Adam to Moses. Even over those who sinned were not like the transgression of Adam, who were a type of the one who were to come. All people know that the law must exist before the sin. But the law only existed for most time when God gave the Ten Commandments for the Israelites. Why did St. Paul condemn people as sinners before the law were promulgated? He might base on the natural law, as he mentioned on Rome chapter 1, verses 20-21. Second point. God gives grace to only one person, Jesus Christ. The church called Adam's sin as the necessary and pressing sin in the exalted chant on the Easter Vigil. Because of that sin, we have tried to come and to remain with people. He come not only to redeem, but also to reveal God's mysteries. And because of his works of salvation, we receive racing upon racing. Sin Christ pour out his blood to redeem us, we are no longer fear the sin results. because from now on, we have a way to eliminate them by using the sacrament of reconciliation. We shall not fear even death, the result of sin, because if sins are canceled, the result of sin are also canceled. We have a hope to live forever with Christ in heaven. The Gospel. You are of more value than many sparrows. The third point. Three necessary attitudes of Christ's disciple. To become Christ's faithful disciple, one must have three following attitudes. First, be ready to accept all suffering. Jesus said, "If they persecuted me, they would also persecute you." Jesus' disciples shall certainly be persecuted because they persecuted and killed him. Jesus warned his disciples to clearly remember this point. It is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher, for the slave that he become like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more those of his household? Matthew chapter 10, verse 25. During preaching or doing apostolic works, Jesus' disciples shall certainly miscriticize opponents and persecutors. The simple reason is the disciple who said things that worldly people didn't want to listen, and the truth usually hurts. For example, the disciple said people must absolutely be faithful in the familial vocation, while some of his audience divorced, separated. They teach children must sacrifice to return favor to their parents, while many of their audience send their parents to nursing home. They teach people must be ready to have children as many as possible, while their audience only want to have one or two or no children at all. Second, have no fear of people. If a disciple fears to display people, to be criticized or opposed, he shall not speak the truth which he is called to preach. In opposition, he shall talk in a way which pleases his audience, even though this thing doesn't belong to Jesus' teaching. This is the reason why Jesus teaches his disciples, "So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, utter in the light, and what you hear whisper, proclaim up on the housetop." When witnessing for the truth, the disciple could pay a dear price. They may even have to sacrifice their own life, as in the cases of the holy martyrs, who were ready to pour out their blood to witness for the truth, because they believe God shall return the glorious body to them and let their soul to live forever. Third, must believe in God's providence. To help his disciples to understand this point, Jesus gave them two examples. First, the sparrow. Jesus said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father's will. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows." Secondly, the hairs on the head. Jesus said, "Even the hairs on your head are all numbered." The hands on the people's head are so much and falling down daily. If such a meaningless air shall fall down daily and is concerned by God, how much more is God concerned for his people? In God's providence, suffering is the means God used to test people's faith and love for him. If people are fear and avoid suffering, they do not demonstrate their faith and love for God. Second point, the reward for those who is faithful and witness for the truth. Jesus clearly said the words to his disciples, "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." Those who have no courage to witness for God's name and to preach the truth which Jesus teaches, they aren't Jesus' disciples. On the last day, Christ shall not consider them as his disciples before his Father. Application in life. We must practice so that we shall not be fear of anything in our life because God won over all things. Suffering and persecution shall certainly come, but they are only opportunities for us to demonstrate our faith and love for God. They also help us to train our virtues. When we have no fear of anything, we begin to live and to live fully, because we completely believe in God's providential love. At that time, the devil and the world shall fear us. Every one of us has the duty to demonstrate our faith and love for God. Let us overcome all fear to live according to the truth and to witness for God before his people. Amen.